This is Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Chuck Hinman in Providence. And joining me this morning is Peter Gaynor, director of Rhode Island's Emergency Management Agency. Welcome to Rhode Island Public Radio. Thanks for taking the time to talk with us this morning.
Thanks for inviting me, Chuck.
Well, we experienced an emergency at the end of October, that storm on Sunday night the 29th, tens of thousands of us losing power and then staying in the dark for days, in some cases for a week. Now, there's been a lot of frustration and criticism leveled at National Grid, the power company. What do you think of their performance during this time?
So I think officially there'll be a after-action report or a post-mortem on how everyone did, to include National Grid and us internally. We're doing an after-action report to see what we did well, what we need to do better.
I know the governor asked for one to be done by the Division of Public Utilities and Carriers. Has that started, do you know?
I can't speak for DPUC. I'm sure that the preliminary is underway. I'm sure National Grid is doing an internal after-action report like we have. So we actually put a survey out to all our local emergency managers. It will take us about 30 days to put together a report, and we'll make improvements to those things that need to be improved, and we'll continue to do things that we did well.
Can I ask you to share with us the conclusions you come to after your internal review?
Absolutely, because we've already got a couple of responses for it. So I think probably by the end of this month or early December, we'll have a formal report ready, and we'll be happy to share those. I'm sure there's improvements that can be made all around.
So what is your role in something like that? Do you have a specific action plan that goes into effect?
So if I could just maybe review what happened, I think, just to kind of highlight how we do it. So we have a weather call with the National Weather Service typically on these things. Friday and Saturday, we had weather briefings from the National Weather Service out of the Taunton office about what the forecast looks like. And you get three or four of those forecasts a day via email, and we discuss that internally. We discuss it with our partners. We make some initial plans on what we think we want to do or need to do based on the forecast, and then we ultimately refine it based on the last best forecast. So the last best forecast for us was midday on Sunday. We decided as a state to not activate, but to put some extra staff in the Emergency Operations Center. This is where we coordinate for the state, put some extra staff overnight should something exceed what we think is going to happen. So if you had told me Sunday night that we would have 144,000 people without power, I would probably have challenged that. And again, we make decisions based on the best information that we have at the time. And so putting those people overnight allows us to make sure that we keep an eye on it. And if we have to dial it up, we dial it up because we have a scalable response in our plan. And if we have to scale it down, we'll dial it down.
How do you decide to declare an emergency and get more involved when something like this happens?
Typically, whether we're in activated mode or in a enhanced monitoring, and that's where we were on Sunday night, we'll collect reports from our local emergency managers, or we collect reports from the media. We collect reports over social media. And so we'll take some action based on what we're seeing. And it takes a while to kind of paint that picture. And I think that was National Grid's challenge on Monday, to paint that picture, like what is really damaged and where is it and how deep is the damage.
Did you get involved in local communities in opening shelters for people, or was this just the kind of event that didn't require that?
Initially, no shelters needed, again, based on what the forecast was. And when it comes to sheltering, it's really a local responsibility. And it's all based on demand, because if there's no demand, opening a shelter, it costs money, time, staff, and if you don't need to do it, you won't do it. So the demand was relatively pretty low. I want to say one or two communities opened a shelter, I think just to ensure that somebody had a place to go. But in most cases, either very, very few people showed up or no one showed up. But we keep an eye on it.
I'm speaking with Peter Gaynor, director of Rhode Island's Emergency Management Agency, and we're talking about the October 29th Sunday night storm that resulted in all those power outages. Now, as we mentioned, the governor's ordered a review of the performance of National Grid. Does your agency have any role in this review, or are you just confined to your agency and seeing what you did?
So I think this is a regulatory review, so DPUC will actually do that. I'm sure we will be asked about what our perception of the response was, and we'll be glad to do that.
Do you have any just basic opinions based on your experience of what we might have learned this time.
Yeah, I think we probably needed to set better expectations earlier on, more realistic, because again, 144,000 people without power is just in Rhode Island. Now you take the other, you know, million or so across New England, all those utilities are looking for the same restoration resources. So those trucks, they come from other states. We had crews in as far as Mississippi to help restore, and that takes some time. But I think we probably should have done a more realistic or set better realistic expectations with the public earlier on, saying, hey, it's not going to be, you know, Tuesday night. It's going to be Friday.
Is there more that the state can do, coordinating things like more aggressive tree trimming around power lines?
So I think that you always can do better with power trimming, with tree trimming. And that's a responsibility of the grid. It's a responsibility of municipalities. And it's a responsibility of homeowners, because you may have a tree that's on your property that may pull a wire off your house. And, you know, National Grid doesn't own it, or the town or the city that you live in doesn't own it. So there's a responsibility all around. There is some obligation to individuals and communities and families to be prepared for these kinds of things. Whether you need a generator because you have an elderly person in the house that needs power, maybe a generator is a way to go. Maybe you have an alternate plan. If you lose power, you got to go somewhere else to relocate that has power, or you feel safe. And this is my biggest challenge as an emergency manager, is to try to convince people to be prepared. And it's really a math problem, right? So let's just take 10% of the population of Rhode Island is 100,000 people, and that 100,000 is affected in some way. If you think that a first responder is going to come to you, part of that 10%, there's not that many first responders. City of Providence has 90 firefighters on right now. They have 8 ambulances with 16 EMS professionals. Those guys are going all day, and should something happen out of the norm, there's not enough. There's not enough really on good days. So you have to realize that and be prepared for that. And the only way you can be prepared for that is to take action as a family, as a community, as a business. I'm sure the public expects us to do a better job, and we'll do that. But there's some expectation from public safety officials that the public takes a bigger role in being prepared for these things.
Well, Peter Gaynor, director of the Rhode Island Emergency Management Agency, thanks for talking with us this morning.
Anytime. Invite me back anytime you want.